Okay, now we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're going off-piste. It's gonna be great fun, okay? Just watch out for the rocks and that cliff. Oh, and those bears. Ready?
Whee! Yes, pay particular attention to the bears. Yoga controversy. Yes, that's right. It's caught between a downward dog and a hard place. The problem? This.
So we take on those modalities, but we weave in the teachings from the Bible, and so our meditation is completely based 100% on the Bible, and when we do our class practices, there's gospel music playing in the background, and that's how we run our classes.
Hang on, that doesn't sound like yoga, but it is holy yoga, a Christian form of yoga. It's something that started in the United States, is now moving into Australia. Dr. Shameen Black is from the ANU. Her research focuses on the cultural politics of yoga. Shameen, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Christianity, it seems incompatible with a practice that has its own huge and deep spiritual tradition.
Well, it can. There's actually really interesting ways in which yoga has been taken up by a number of different religious practices and traditions that are different from the ones that gave it its roots. We've been seeing the rise of Christian forms of yoga in recent years, as well as Jewish yoga and Islamic forms of yoga as well. So it's definitely a growing trend for many religions.
Is this a sort of a cultural appropriation?
Well, I think that it can be, but it depends in some ways. I think that on the idea of cultural borrowings, mixings, interpenetration, those kinds of things have in some ways are simply part of life. The more we look in history, the more we see that we find very little evidence of cultural traditions or even religious traditions that are completely separate from one another. But that said, there are certain aspects of the way in which yoga has been taken up by groups such as the ones that you're referring to that have raised some concerns about a number of different issues. And I think there are really two issues that come to play. One is the question of recognition for yoga as a practice that claims some important roots from the Indian subcontinent. And I think that has become more and more concern for oftentimes for people in India as well as the Indian diaspora, where they feel like India has in some sense given rise to this really fascinating and wonderful practice that has become popular around the world, but then is not given a kind of recognition for that. So that's one place that has raised some critics in some quarters.
Is the basic problem here that the perception of yoga as being fundamentally a physical practice?
Well, that's part of it, I think. That's part of it, that taking an understanding of yoga as a specific set of postures is...
an exercise
is in some ways
program.
An exercise program. For many people, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Many people that I've talked to, for example, doing interviews in India, they've said that, yoga is really a way of life. The postures are part of it and are an important part of it, but they are really not the sum total, and that there's something very important to them that has to do with connections to philosophical practices or to ethical ways of being in the world. So a very capacious view of yoga. But of course, the physical practices are what most people today, I think, would think of when you say the word yoga.
So is there anything worse about a Christian practice of yoga and something like, say, Bikram yoga, which, that takes that tradition and puts it into a rather different place as well?
Yes, I think there are actually many different kinds of yoga that are making these kinds of transformations and taking yoga into different cultural spaces, whether it's secular forms of fitness or whether it's religious practices. I think that one of the larger sources of concern that that make questions of cultural appropriation come to bear is in some ways is the larger context of power within which these transformations are occurring. So, for example, the kind of Christian yoga that you've talked about, has in some sense was kind of developed in the U.S. before it's come to Australia. There, I think many times people an Indian diaspora sitting in the U.S. looks at the way in which oftentimes cultural practices from India have been widely, you know, enjoyed or seen as exotic and exciting by people in the U.S., but actual people from India have not necessarily been treated very well. The whole the mid-20th century had strong exclusion laws that made it very difficult for people from India to migrate to the U.S., and certainly as racial minorities there, many people have encountered forms of discrimination or exclusion. And in the post 9/11 era with the war on terror, many people of South Asian descent in the U.S. as well as other places have experienced very strong forms of hostility and even violence, being perceived as somehow part of a larger terrorist problem. So I think it's in that kind of context when people from the South Asian continent are often feeling very embattled, that they when they turn and see a practice being taken from India, but people from India being treated in a very different way, that dissonance is, I think, what leads to some of these concerns about cultural appropriation or lack of understanding or respect for the people who have helped, whose traditions have generated these practices.
We're talking about yoga here on Sunday Extra. And why? Well, because of a new phenomenon, holy yoga, a Christian form. Dr. Shamim Black is with us from the ANU. And Shamim, the holy yoga is it's more than inserting a Christian message, if you like, a Christian spiritual dimension. I mean, it replaces that normal sort of sense you often have in a yoga class of Indian music and a sense of the Hindu past of the practice with gospel songs, passages from the Bible, changing the names of yoga postures to things like the altar, David's harp. Mm-hmm. That seems to be taking maybe a step too far.
I think what troubles critics about this kind of practice is in some ways the way it can, and whether this is intentional or unintentional, it can communicate a sense of a criticism or a desire to repress yoga's connection to religious practices and traditions from India, and there have certainly been, I think, ways in which there's a kind of either or quality that these practices have been taken over and put in Christianity, and that is presented as a kind of better way to do them. And that, I think, presents a troubling message for some people.
Where did yoga come from, and how did it first jump into the West?
Well, these are hard questions to answer. The history of yoga is very complex and so much of it is uncertain. One thing, I think the more that scholars of classical periods, of earlier periods, look into it, the greatest finding I think we have is that yoga has never been a singular unified practice that has meant the same thing over time and places. It has had very different kinds of relationships to different philosophies as well as to different social movements, and it's meant many things. The kind of moment that it has come to the West is oftentimes located in the 19th century as intellectuals in the West became very interested in these practices, and then in the early and mid 20th centuries, we see the rise of gurus coming to the West, bringing their teachings and developing followings there. So it's a very, in some ways, a very modern moment. But it's also, I think, the making of the yoga we practice today is as scholars have started to show, the result of a lot of dialogue between these Indian gurus and Westerners. And so there is a lot of back and forth and a lot of really fascinating cosmopolitan conversation that has helped to shape yoga into the kind of practice that you're likely to encounter in a studio today.
And the sort of practice, too, which probably in the West, in the culture in a place like Australia, speaks to a quiet sort of spiritual need in many people.
I think there's a lot of desire for something that one of the appeals of yoga is that it is often presented as a physical practice, but as more than a physical practice. And I think there is a real yearning. Yoga is something that I think has a kind of transformative promise to it, and that makes it a little bit different from other forms of physical exercise that that don't quite make that promise.
The 10K run, for example, is not quite on the same the platform, is it?
Well, I guess it could be. but uh, but it's probably not nestled in quite the same sets of philosophical teachings.
Shamim, thank you so much. A fascinating thing, holy yoga. Well, it probably all is in some way, shape or form. Dr. Shamim Black is from the ANU's Department of Gender, Media and Cultural Studies. Now, ANU, if you're in the vicinity, is convening a symposium on yoga and the body, past and present. That's on the 4th and 6th of May. We'll explore how yoga's influence concepts of the ideal and the imperfect body over 2,000 years. Details of that symposium on the Sunday Extra website. You can find all the facts there. Shamim, thank you.
Thank you.
Jonathan Green with you, and this is Sunday Extra here on RN.